The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food themselves, yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fishes are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said a blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. This is my body, given for your freedom. This is my blood that was shed for all mankind. Eat and drink till the day of my return. Amen?
Amen.
God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Have you ever asked this question? Why did Jesus decide to give us himself in the form of bread and wine? Why not in the form of salad or steak or cake? Why must it be bread and wine? There is a reason for that. And we are going to share that today. So please be awake, don't sleep. Because that will be shared towards the end of the homily. So make sure you grab it. But before we go into that, in the first reading of today, we heard about Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a very fascinating figure in the scripture. Melchizedek has no genealogy. He has no father. He has no mother. He has no siblings. And he was a king and a priest. He is the only one in the scripture, in the whole of the scripture, who is a king and at the same time a priest. And he was the king of Salem. Salem means peace. No one knew about how he came about. But when we read the word of God in Genesis chapter 14, Psalm 1:110, and Hebrews chapter 7, that is where we can find the figure or the story of Melchizedek. But in all these stories, nothing about his genealogy, how he came about. And also, we can find about Melchizedek from the findings of the Qumran of the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's where we can find fascinating stories about Melchizedek. But there is a reason why this reading is read today, that we are celebrating the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. And the reason is this: the church wants us to connect the priesthood of Melchizedek with the priesthood of Christ. Now, in the story, Abraham has a nephew, Lot. And Lot lived at a particular time. And there was about four kings that fought Israel at this time and conquered them and took all the property and also including Lot. And they were seized. Then Abraham had to fight these four kings, and he was able to defeat them. And after defeating them, he collected his nephew, Lot, and also the loot. On his way returning, he met Melchizedek, who was the king and the priest. And Melchizedek brought out bread and wine and blessed Abraham. Because immediately Abraham saw Melchizedek, he bowed before Melchizedek. And Abraham, remember, is the father of faith. He is a very strong figure in Israel. But the moment he saw Melchizedek, he bowed and received blessing from Melchizedek. And he now took one-tenth of his loot and gave to Melchizedek. Now, the church wants us to connect this. Melchizedek, as we know, was a priest. And for him to bless Abraham, that means Abraham recognizes the authority of this king and a priest over his own authority. And Melchizedek also reminds us that he is a priest that is different from the priesthood of Aaron. Now, when we link this into today's gospel, where Jesus brought five loaves of bread and two fishes and blessed them, and gave to the people to eat. What Jesus did was the prefiguration of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. And remember, after the people might have fed, they collected the particles, and about 12 wicker baskets was collected. That reminds us that after Jesus fed the people, the leftover was now given to the apostles to continue to feed the body of Christ, the church. That is why the Holy Eucharist is the food that sustains us. The Holy Eucharist is the food that came from heaven. So the miracle of the multiplication of loaves was the prefiguration of the institution of the sacrament of the Holy Priesthood, of the Holy Eucharist. And in the second reading, St. Paul reminds us that on the very night before Jesus submitted himself to be crucified, he brought bread and blessed the bread and told the disciples, "Eat this. This is my body." Jesus did not say, "This looks like my body." He did not say, "This is a symbol of my body." Rather, he said, "This is my body." He brought a cup of wine, and he blessed it, and he gave to them and told them, "Take and drink. This is my blood." That was when Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And also within that time, he told them, "Whenever you do this, You are reenacting my sacrifice on the cross. And he also told them, do this always in remembrance of me. That was when he instituted the sacrament of the holy priesthood. So we can now connect it. Jesus instituted the sacrament of the holy priesthood. And Jesus himself is that eternal priest. When you connect this to the first reading, it then means that Melchizedek is the pre-Christ that existed in the Old Testament. So by connecting all these, we can see that we cannot separate the Holy Eucharist from the priesthood. That is why when priests are being ordained, the bishop will remind them that they have been ordained in the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Christ, the eternal priest, is in the order of Melchizedek. And the priests we have today are being ordained in the order of Melchizedek, which is different from the priesthood of Aaron of the Old Testament. So bringing all these together, today that we are celebrating the solemnity of the Holy Eucharist, we are being reminded that the Holy Eucharist, in the Holy Eucharist, Christ is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we are being reminded that we have to love the Holy Eucharist. We have to honor the Holy Eucharist and reverence the Holy Eucharist. That is why in the opening prayer of this Mass, we say, O God, who has given us this wonderful sacrament as a memorial, help us to reverence the mystery of the body and blood so that we can experience the effects of the Holy Eucharist. What that means is, whenever that we are celebrating the Holy Eucharist, we are reenacting the offering of Christ on the cross. It is one and the same. The only difference is the one that Christ offered on the cross, that was a shedding of blood, but the one that we offer on the altar, there is no shedding of blood. So in the Holy Eucharist, Jesus is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it is true. Last year, October, I was in Portugal, in this church, St. Eugene's Church in Santarém, Portugal, where the miracle of the Holy Eucharist occurred in about 12th century. And it is there present. The Holy Eucharist keeps, the blood is right there. I saw it with my eyes. So it is real that in the Holy Eucharist, Christ is present. And we are being reminded to adore, to reverence, to believe in this mystery. Then, answering the question, why did Jesus give us himself in the form of bread and wine? Bread and wine are symbolic. They symbolize unity and transformation. Explain the unity aspect of it. How do we get the bread? Individual grains ground together, and they become one loaf of bread. That is why St. Paul reminds us, though divided, we are one in Christ. So we could see how the divine humbled himself and took the form of the ordinary in order to convey divinity to us, in order to reach each and every one of us. Because we know that bread is the commonest food that we can eat. Now, how is wine formed? Individual grapes ground together and they become wine. Unity. The other aspect is the symbol of transformation. We could see how the bread, the grains, transform into becoming bread. That means when we die to sin and we partake in the body and blood of Christ, we are being transformed into becoming Christ himself, eternal life. The Holy Eucharist is the only food that when we eat it, that food transforms us. We become like Christ. But when we eat ordinary food, the ordinary food transforms into becoming our body. And that is why we grow and we are nourished. But when we eat Holy Eucharist, we are transformed into becoming Christ, into having that eternal union with God. So, my dear friends in Christ, today the church is reminding us that the Holy Eucharist is real. The church reminds us to reverence the Holy Eucharist so that we can enjoy the blessings and the fruits of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless us, and may his words continue to transform our lives. And may we be nourished by the body and blood of Christ until we have this eternal union with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.